This is part two of our two-part series, where we continue our discussion on the fear of failure and the fear of success. We look at how prevalent these fears are in your life and also how sneaky they can be. We discuss how to start deconstructing the stories we have around being perceived as failing and succeeding, and even look at how fear of success often masquerades as other things.
Let's talk about what intuition really is.
Let's look at all the places intuition and ego show up in your life.
Let's share honestly.
Let's do the research.
I'm Jamie Hayhurst.
I'm Heather Wood.
This is the Intuitive Girls Guide.
Okay, Jay, here is how fear of success shows up for me once a year.
Okay.
And how this is another thing that if you were guessing about us, you know how that's like which one of us likes a Lifetime movie?
Oh, it's the opposite.
Yeah, this I think will probably be that for people.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can't wait for you to say it.
I don't like a big celebration for my birthday.
Correct. Yes. And I do.
You love it.
I love a birthday.
Yeah. And guess why I don't?
Because you don't like attention?
No, it's fear of success. That's walking
into attention is success.
True. Very true. But it's like everyone looking at you and going like, let's celebrate you. So much mm-hmm. like Glennon has trouble of be celebrating right. that love or
Mother's Day,
or
right.
whatever. Right. I have trouble allowing people just for doing, I didn't do anything. I just came out of a birth canal. My mother should be celebrated probably. She did the work,
right? I mean, that's
right?
true, but also no.
Yes. I know. I'm telling you the bullshit thing in my head. I feel like, oh my gosh, I already am celebrated. I already have so much, right? This is being too much. For just this being the day I was born, I don't want anyone to go out of their way because like that makes me feel like everyone is going to be in their minds like, oh my gosh, she already has. Look at this.
She already had a birthday
life.
Last year.
Yeah. Look at everything she has. We're going to give her more, please. Right. Like, and I know that's not real.
So you don't like people seeing how good your life is.
That's dangerous for me. That's all the times that people, when people see how well I do or how smart I am or whatever you're going to mm-hmm. attach, how intuitive I am mm-hmm. or whatever you're going to attach.
Yeah.
That's when they reject me.
Interesting.
So it's sort of like, let me just stand here with a spotlight on me for you all
vulnerable.
To reject me.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
No, I know that's ridiculous. I work on it. Most people don't know that I feel that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do, mm-hmm. and you yell at me for it and force me to be celebrated, which is very nice,
uh-huh.
right? But like,
but I would also never throw you like I would never throw you a birthday party.
Oh God, no!
I'll force the celebration, but like in a little safe little setting.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Because you know that about me,
yeah,
and you're like, no, you will be celebrated, and you'll deal yeah. with it. But I'm not going to put you in a position where you feel awful, right? So I just if you're also like that. Where you are uncomfortable about birthdays, mm-hmm. there are other reasons you can be uncomfortable about birthdays.
Of course.
But the majority of them are fear of success.
Yes.
So I want people to know how it's like sneaky. It's not painted in the old, like this
I would
one
never
way.
Thought that is like fear of success.
Yeah. I would say the majority of the issues you know I have will fear. Boil down to fear of success. I mean, even mm-hmm. just like if a conversation is about me for too long,
yes.
I start to get very squidgy. And I mean, I'm really good at a black belt. So do you in
Same.
Like, changing the conversation from me to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fear of success. That's
yeah.
like someone's going to get sick of hearing about me being too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about Jamie so much?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do the same
yeah.
thing.
And even in places where I lack or I'm not as good at something or things haven't gone well, I'm waiting for someone to go, yeah, but it's not as bad as this.
Yeah.
That's fear of success.
You do that all the time. You do that all the time.
Constantly.
You'll say, you'll complain about something. Not complain, you like vent, process,
yeah.
whatever. And you'll say,
yeah,
I know it's not as bad as this, or I know it's not
yeah.
as bad as that person has
right.
it. I'm like, shut up. We're not talking about that person. We're
yeah.
talking about you and
yeah.
how you feel.
Yes.
But it's because you don't want to be seen like you're taking up too much space.
Yes.
And like things are good enough for you.
It's an apology.
It is.
Right? It's an apology for having bad feelings about anything
mm-hmm.
when I also have all of these things.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's constantly apologizing for yourself.
That's fear of success.
Yeah.
That's how it shows up in your everyday little things life. So if you don't, if you're going like, that's not me, I bet you'll see some of these things.
I mean, I bet a lot of our listeners are apologize, self-apologizers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fear of success.
It absolutely
interesting.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. So we've kind of talked about this, but I thought it would be worth mentioning that our culture does a lot of weird shit. No surprises there.
Right.
Right. But what we also do is put people who have success in a position where we worship them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We do.
To the point, I mean, we've talked about Taylor Swift before. We yeah. both love Taylor Swift. But I always, when we see her fans, I mean, we're some of them, we're fans, but we see those certain fans
yeah.
where she can't do anything wrong.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah, we talked about that in our obsessed segment.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what you then code in is like, if I reach that level of success in whatever I was doing, I would be loved and worshiped like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, that worshiping is so fucking dangerous.
Well, and you also know that with that level of like worship comes the scrutiny.
Yes.
And then you don't feel like you could actually live up to it.
Yes. The amount you have to be perceived.
Right.
Okay. So I just think if when you stop and go, yeah, we do, like even like Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wanted capitalism, right?
Oh God, he sure did.
Okay. But even though we know he's like Lex Luthor, like a bad guy.
For real.
Right?
Yeah.
We still have a worship of him in some way. Mm-hmm. He did something better than the rest of us.
Yeah. He won. He's the winner.
Right.
But however you want it, you still want it.
Yeah.
There's still that success that you're reading in his story.
And you're deciding he's better. Mm-hmm. Than other people. And even if you don't really believe that and you hate Jeff Bezos,
mm-hmm.
you know somewhere there's language in your mind Absolutely. That he's better than everybody else,
yes.
right? And then your ego starts to be like, but what about all these people who like dedicate all their time to helping people?
Exactly.
Like, and then you get like stuck in the weeds of it. So it's not like a huge leap to get out of that, but like you're so programmed to believe that.
Exactly.
So when you go to chase after success, it's easy to be blinded by the fact that there's a lot of pitfalls with it as well. Mm-hmm.
And that success isn't like perfection. You think you're striving
yeah.
for perfection. You think that it's going to be, everything's going to be perfect and easy.
Yeah.
But you know that the coding is there that like, am I powerful enough to live up to that? Am I strong enough, smart enough, intuitive enough?
Yeah.
Scary.
It's so scary.
It's scary.
And it's, again, it's the spiral staircase.
Right.
So just because you gain the thing doesn't mean you never have to deal with your fears or right. your vows again.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people believe that. I think the self-help business doesn't do a good job of explaining that. It sort of sells this idea that you'll be free of these things.
Well, right. Because that's what people will pay money for is the cure.
That's true. But there isn't a cure. It's just, it's sort of like, I don't know. This is like a weird like example, but like exercising, like the muscles to do it are just stronger and it's not as difficult on your body and as painful once you practice it. Like, right. Like it's like anything.
It. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. I'd also like to mention that we have a whole episode on the hero's journey.
Mm.
So if you're like listening to this episode and you're like, what do I do with all of these things that Jamie and Heather are triggering in me right now? Go listen to that episode because you're going to hero journey around the circle of the hero's journey to deal with that.
Yep.
Okay. All right. This is kind of a hefty thing I'm going to loft at everybody.
Okay.
We fear the perceptions of ourselves failing and succeeding more than we fear most anything else.
True.
Whatever you got, name it.
Yep.
It's not, you either put it in one of those categories
mm-hmm.
or it's not happening very often.
Yep.
Okay. I know you fear death, but in some ways that's probably failure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, it's probably succeeding in other ways too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the end of this part, right?
Right.
But you don't spend as much time thinking about that.
No.
As you do being perceived failing and perceived succeeding. It's not, you don't even spend as much time thinking about the failing and about the succeeding. It's being perceived failing and succeeding that you, like you spend all this time, like you fantasize about how great it will be if you succeed and, you know, and then, oh my God, how terrible it will be if you succeed. And then the same with failure. Like
right.
it takes up so much of you.
Yep.
But you don't realize that you are consumed by these fears all the time.
No, you don't.
But the perception, how others perceive you as a human being, is so central to who you are. So much so that, like, our culture with, like, social media and sort of having a life online and a life off, I think has blurred some of those lines for people.
Correct. And then it becomes exhausting.
Yeah.
Because you don't realize how much processing you're doing. Like, you're subconsciously, like, always processing how you're being perceived. Like, yeah. Even like if you're someone who's socially anxious.
Yes.
A lot of that is because you're afraid of being perceived.
Yeah.
And how you're being perceived. Is it the right way or the wrong way or the safe way, unsafe way?
Yeah.
Like, it's really exhausting to be constantly perceived.
I think people with social anxiety are just smarter than everybody else.
Probably.
I mean, but also they're just really aware of super how important perception is.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
I feel like they're labeled as like weak sometimes. And I think that's so ridiculous because they're actually just more grounded in reality.
Right. And they just don't yet have the tools to manage.
Yes. They haven't figured the way to manage it yet.
Right.
That's it. But there are a lot of people who just avoid the fact that they're afraid of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being perceived is both terrible and wonderful. And so you're never going to get to a point where it's one or the other.
Correct.
It's going to be both.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So it's going to be great. It's going to come with all these perks. And it's going to be terrible. And it's going to come with a lot of bad stuff.
Yep.
Okay. And here I want to give you an example of something I did yesterday. So it was Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. I worked in the morning and I was done doing my work, literally like working stuff. I was done around like 11:30, just like a short day. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's my research day. I had a couple of Red Cross things to do. I got that stuff in order. Right. And then it was 11:30. I made Valentine's Day cupcakes. Okay. For my family. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't have much to do. So I sat on my phone.
Nice.
For like an hour and a half.
Good
and
for you.
And did nothing but play games and scroll.
Good for you.
And I had the thought at one point, what people who think of me as like some kind of a leader, what would they think of me doing this?
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
They would think, look at how successful and powerful Heather is. She has all this stuff and she has time to scroll.
Yes.
But your ego was like, she's faking it.
Well, and
she's privileged. She's whatever.
Yeah, right. She's too much. Right. Of course. But the point is that no one was perceiving me.
Of course not.
No one saw me. No, zero people. Not even my husband saw me. He wasn't even there. Like,
yeah, but you know.
But the idea of the fact that what would someone perceive
exactly.
if they saw me right now, even though they're not seeing me right now. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're absolutely right. Nobody would care.
No, they would think
zero
it was
people
great.
Would care. Yeah. But like, you know what I mean? Like, and I didn't feel shame about it. I literally thought about how funny that thought was. Mm-hmm. It's as if, even though you're not giving everyone a window in all the time, it's as if there's this imagined window where everyone's judging you and perceiving you all the time, even though they're not.
Well, it's like you start to police yourself.
Yeah.
You start to judge yourself.
Yeah.
In anticipation of, so you can manage,
yes.
quote unquote, how everyone else is going to perceive you.
Yes.
So you're running this scan of like,
yeah.
is this acceptable? What if someone walked yes. in right now?
Yes.
Is this okay?
Yes.
Just let yourself live.
Exactly. But that's my point is that the idea and the fear of perception.
Yes. It's massive.
Is so ingrained.
Yep.
And then it's the lines are so blurry now about like how you're being perceived and when you're being perceived.
Mm-hmm.
And
your phone and your computer.
Like, is this good performing or bad performing or what? And you just get like, right? Like, and so it's so consuming
yep.
and attached to it every time you're fearing being perceived.
Yep.
Is failure and success.
Success.
So I don't want people to get stuck in like, but you know, I got this promotion at work. I didn't feel too worried about it. Like, yes, you did. And it's not just work.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Okay. We tend to avoid doing specifically, like doing things specifically that you have connected to your worth.
Okay.
Okay. So what are you avoiding doing? What thing do you want? What thing do you desire?
Mm-hmm.
are that you are just like, I'm not going to go for that right now.
Okay.
Okay. Attached to that, succeeding and failing, is a perception of yourself that you don't think is worthy.
Okay.
Okay. So let me explain that. Yeah. Let me try to find an example to explain this. Okay. If you were afraid of getting a new job,
mm-hmm.
okay, if that started to feel like scary and you were like, I'm going to avoid worrying about the job thing. And I'm going to like make myself happy at my job, mm-hmm. even though you desire a new job,
right?
You know, I'm going to avoid that mm-hmm. and do this. The reason that you're avoiding going for that and thinking about that is because the being perceived as failing at it and being perceived as being successful at it will connect a story to you that disproves that you have worth.
Okay.
Okay. So think about how, like in your case, when you were saying like, what if I don't contribute the right way to people? Like, yeah. what if I don't show up the right way?
Right.
The things you avoid are connected to you being perceived the quote unquote wrong way.
Right.
And your wrong way mm-hmm. is the things that aren't attached to the story you have about your worth.
Gotcha.
So for me, contributing. Okay. That's one of my desires.
Yeah.
Okay. Your desires are always weaved into your fears, mm-hmm. like we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. So contributing is one of the top things that I always want to do. But I also, if there's a thing that I want that I can't figure out how it contributes to other people,
yeah.
I'm going to really struggle and avoid doing it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So like going,
cause you don't want to,
I got like an opportunity to go to like a really amazing retreat in Hawaii. Remember
you did?
This?
Yes.
Okay. And it was like expensive and it was amazing. And it was just like so cool,
uh-huh.
but I could not create a story about how that would contribute to anybody but me. Correct. Now, that doesn't mean I shouldn't do it, but I avoid it. I was like, nope, I'm not going for that right now. And I was like, I'll do that maybe next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this behavior. I'm just saying you'll avoid because you can't connect your worth to doing that.
No, and you even said it in that moment. You knew it. That's the spiral staircase.
Yeah.
That like you knew it. You're like, I don't feel like I can do this just for me right now.
Yeah. And that's an okay statement.
Yeah.
There's nothing
right.
wrong with that. You don't have to fight every battle in every moment that you're in.
Correct.
You just have to be aware.
The awareness is key.
Yes. Right. Yes, yes, yes,
right.
yes. But the things like an example, I've given this example before, but I have a friend who part of her identity is that she does not care how she looks.
Mm-hmm.
She just, mm-hmm. you know, I've talked about her to you before.
Yeah.
She just, that's how I showed it. And that a lot of the verbiage and language around her appearance that she says is like a joke about how she just rolled out of bed or just came quicker, washed her hair 4 days ago. Or whatever.
Not a lot of effort.
Right. Okay. That's because she can't find a story of worth in putting in effort to her appearance and being perceived as putting in effort.
Interesting.
Okay. The everything that you do mm-hmm. is connected to being perceived as a success or a failure
right.
because you have worth connected to the stories that go beyond that,
right.
that we just told you to dig for. So no one's just doing shit because that's their personality.
No. And like if you're someone who gets dressed and ready all the time, like you,
yeah.
that wouldn't make sense to you that like,
right.
that she wouldn't feel that she would feel worse.
Right.
Getting ready and getting
right.
dressed or dressed up or whatever. You know what I mean? Because that's not your story.
Right. So if you don't do the work,
right.
you're constantly projecting. So then
exactly.
somebody not putting effort into their appearance would make you feel like, well, are you saying there's something wrong with me putting effort into my appearance?
Exactly.
As if it's one thing for everybody.
There's one rule for everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the truth to me is that I'm like, I can only put so much effort into it though.
Right.
Right. Because too much effort would make me be too much. And I already have too much.
You can't be
and
too
why
much.
Did you spend it? So I have to put effort in, but efficiently and without too much
right.
time.
Exactly.
Involved, right.
Yeah.
So like it's complicated, but it's complicated for everybody. So if you're if you're just letting yourself be triggered
yep.
by that person,
right.
instead of going, oh, interesting. They don't connect any feelings of worth to that.
Right.
Being seen as a success or a failure. I don't know. What
and
they
where
see
do
it.
They? Like where yeah. do they find feelings
yeah.
of success?
And the truth is I couldn't care less
yeah.
if you put a lot of effort into your appearance or not.
Right.
But it's you that are you're talking about it. To
right.
me. So you care and
yeah.
you're painting the perception to me.
Good point.
People like me who are crazy, we in good ways and bad. I know that's what you're doing. Right. I'm constantly, watching. I think you're the same way. I'm constantly clocking how you want me to perceive you.
Yes.
And then I'm constantly feeding it back to you so that you relax in my presence.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm also constantly monitoring how you're perceiving me and yes. dialing down the things that I think are triggering you.
Yes.
And this dialing too up much. The things that I think bring you comfort. Mm-hmm. And so is everyone else. I think just the scales are different. But yeah. like, if you think about it that way, you don't have to be so triggered by everyone all the time.
Exactly.
You don't have to be mad that, you know, I don't know what people are mad about. That's,
I mean, a lot of things.
I mean, I'm just thinking like a dumb thing that people are mad about. I don't know, that Taylor Swift rigged the Super Bowl or something.
Well, or that like you're still wearing skinny jeans or.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're right. Still doing the French tuck. Who the fuck
I will
cares?
Do the French tuck forever. Forever. And me and Jamie and Tan.
Tan France.
Will come fight you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
so get off it. You know what? we get to talk to a fashion icon.
We do.
Stacey London.
Stacey London.
In a few weeks. Oh. She'll be on the podcast. I'm going to ask her about the French tuck.
You should.
Okay.
And menopause.
Mostly about menopause, but we also reference the French tuck because it's what the people want to know.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Moving back to this.
Yes.
I have some questions you can ask yourself.
Okay.
Okay. So what do I feel comfortable succeeding at in front of people? And then.
That's a great question.
And then why? Mm-hmm. Why am I comfortable with that?
Why is that safe?
Yes. So just listen, let the first answers come up, but like keep.
Pushing.
Keep like, give it a little time to marinate. Like yep. keep coming in on that one. Yep. See what's there. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a few things that you're like, yeah, yeah. And yeah. then you're going to go, ooh,
right.
And then you're going to realize that they're all in the same category. Okay.
Yep.
Spoiler alert.
Exactly.
Okay. There. What do I feel comfortable failing at in front of people and why? Mm-hmm. A lot of people perform their failures to people.
True.
Okay. Why do you pick that one? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or why do you self-deprecate so much?
Yeah. What's going on there? What are you trying to make other people perceive about you?
Right.
Okay.
That's what you love about me. My self-deprecation. I lead with a self-deprecation.
I mean, I yell at you.
Strangle me.
I was going to say love about you. I love, I mean, I am entertained by it. But you're also funny at it. So like you get away with self-deprecating and other people are just like laughing along with you. And I'm like furious in the corner.
Don't buy it.
Yeah. What are you people doing? Don't feed into this behavior of hers just because she's funny. Yeah. No. Okay. What would be the scariest thing to fail at and why?
Yikes.
Yeah.
Those are the questions. My ego is like, shut it. We're powering down now. That one's too much.
And mine would go, well, this, but. And, yeah. Okay. What would be the scariest thing to succeed at and why?
And you might get a little resistance, be like, nothing. I want to be a billionaire and I want to be on yes. stage and I want to be this and I want to be that. And this yeah. is all lovely.
Yeah.
But that's when you mean like, just. Dig a little deeper, sit yeah. with it, ask why, ask how would that feel, yeah. and then you're going to start feeling some other feelings about it.
Imagine it from the perspective that you have it and you've had it for a couple weeks.
Yep.
What does your ego start to do? Because it's got stories, baby. It's yeah, it ready. Sure does. It's it ready sure to does. Pounce. It's ready. So yep. just like sit in that. But I know like not everyone is a journaler, but I do think mm-hmm. like taking little notes and writing stuff down about this will yeah. help trigger the rest of these things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even just the notes app.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't have to do pen to paper.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a pen you to do. Paper moment.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. You love a notes app.
Yeah.
Okay. When it comes to your fear of success and failure, when you're digging, mm-hmm. there's vows present here. So, I mean, I've talked about vows a million times yeah. on the podcast, but if this happens to be your first episode, these are just the stories we create as a result of fear.
Yeah.
So when your ego and your intuition, usually you create these between the ages of like 6, 7, 8, like around there, and then you layer on them as you get older.
Forever.
Okay. Your ego and intuition, mostly your ego, can't get you a path to safety from where you are.
Right.
Okay. Now remember you're from the mindset of like a 6-year-old.
Yep.
So you can't make sense of something. Mm-hmm. And so you can't get to safety. So you create a vow.
Yep.
Make a story. And then you, until you go back and see it and look at it and become aware of it, it steers your life in all these ways, more than you can imagine, probably.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you have intuitive gifts like me, whenever you're just in the presence of someone, it's like their vows are screaming at me.
Right.
Like everything just feels, and right. I just want to be like, oh my God, can I help you with this story?
Yes,
and
you exactly.
know, I'm always trying to weave to like, tell me about what happened when you were six. Like I'm trying to figure out how to get there with a stranger where it's not super weird. You know what I mean? Like, because I want to look at those, but these right. things are so prevalent, connected to your mm-hmm. fear of success and your fear of failure. And you have more than one, and you have ones for different categories of your life. So like mm-hmm. you might've figured out your fear of success as far as like work. But then when you're perceived as having a successful relationship with someone, all of a sudden you're being attacked by it because you have a different vow mm-hmm. in this area, or a different version of the vow when it comes to a relationship.
Right.
Okay. And it's all from the perception of a six-year-old.
That's why it needs some work.
Yeah.
You have to revisit it and rewrite it because it's your brain's different now. It's yeah. developed. Your and brain's developed.
It's why when you see it, you're like, that's not logical. I don't believe that.
No. Exactly.
But you did.
You did. It made sense and it kept you safe. It served a purpose.
And you're still living your life based on this rule you made right. when you were a little kid that you needed the rule. Like, don't you be did. Mad at the fact you needed no. it. You like honor it. It got you to safety.
Yeah.
Okay. But the fact that you're still walking that path to get to safety, it's no longer working because right. you're no longer six.
Exactly.
Okay.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey y'all, it's Jamie with a little shameless self-promotion. We've had a lot of people reaching out asking about distal Reiki, so I wanted to let you all know that yes, you can book a session with me. If you'd like some distance Reiki, get in touch with me and we will set it up for you.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know what goes great with podcast listening?
A great cup of coffee from a great coffee shop.
Yep, beans roasted in-house, amazing baristas. You know where I'm talking about.
Restoration Coffee, can we go?
Yes, I need an Americano and maybe a panini too.
Ooh, I need blueberry maple latte and probably a resto bowl.
Ooh, yeah, check them out and visit restoration-coffee.com.
Let's talk about what we're obsessed with this week.
Okay, Heather, I don't know how to frame this.
You sent me a TikTok.
I'm obsessed. I'm not obsessed. I'm anti-obsessed.
You're annoyed.
I'm obsessed. What's a bad obsessed?
You can be obsessed with something that's bad because you're thinking about it, right?
I don't know. You and I are just so highly tuned to like seeing things on social media and the red flags just pop.
Yeah, it gives you the ick.
Instantly.
Yeah.
And I sent you this TikTok and it was a woman who called herself an alpha female empath.
Yeah. But I think the premise of it was like, if you're an alpha female empath,
you're
going to trigger other people.
Right. But yeah. And the message was actually good. It was like, but we need you. Like, we need you to like inspire and to lead.
Right. And I honestly think that the intention behind the TikTok, mm-hmm. I didn't read it as bad.
No.
I just read it as like a weird label.
It's like you're trying to assimilate.
Yeah.
Into the toxicity.
Yeah.
Rather than to pull everyone else out of it. This, like alpha and empath.
Yeah.
Those don't, first of all, alpha is not a thing.
Well, I was just going to say, this might be very autistic of me, but what people present as like alpha, like when men are doing that, like alpha male thing, they're actually not describing what alpha is.
No.
Like alpha isn't like the loudest, biggest push through. Like that isn't what an alpha is.
Correct.
And I'm not saying that you should buy into the alpha beta concept or not. Okay. But
I'm saying you should.
Okay. But what I'm saying is like what an actual alpha is when you're referring to it like in nature or wherever.
Right.
Is a leader. A true leader is not the one tap dancing. It's not David Miscavige of Scientology.
Exactly. Like it's, performing masculinity.
Yeah. It's not the, the bro at the gym lifting the most stuff.
Correct.
It's the person pushing everyone else into greatness or bringing them along with them or like, you know, and there is performance to that, of course, but like the way that we describe what an alpha is sort of like the loudest leader.
Exactly.
And like, that's not what an alpha actually is. No. Like if you look at like wolves,
yes,
the alpha male is a thing in that. That's where that's people are taking it right. from. But they're taking it as like, that's the showy one doing all like the killing and getting all the glory,
right?
And getting all the females. And like, that's actually not what that is.
No, exactly.
So from a very like, wait a minute, that's the wrong definition place.
Right.
It's irritating to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what you're saying is like, you're taking this concept that like toxic masculinity took and ran with, and now you're trying to bring it into female empaths.
Yes.
And that's icky.
Right. Because even if you mean something different,
yeah,
you're flagging all of the wrong people. Like you're still flagging all of the wrong ideas.
Yeah.
Even if you're trying to like rebrand alpha or you're... whatever.
Brand alpha.
That's still like, you have to take responsibility for the fact that you're online and you're using terminology, which now alpha's gone so far, literally down the pipeline. That like alpha red flags you to being like a white supremacist.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, like that's on you. Like,
right. It's not like you just said it. You made content about it.
Yeah. And like, I don't know that she knows that.
No.
But it's still true. Like you're flagging yourself on the pipeline.
And you're also sort of implying with the alpha title, which is why I think like not just because toxic masculinity loves it and uses it wrong, but like it, there's also always an implication that the alphas are better.
And there's also the implication that empaths are weak.
Yes.
So why do I'm an empath. Why do I need to be an alpha? Like I'm strong enough just as an empath.
And what exactly is an alpha empath?
I don't fucking know.
So like I feel the most more than all of you. So like I trigger people more because that's not actually true.
Or I think it's that like you feel the most, but you act on it. The alpha does something about it.
Yeah.
And that's why you're triggering people.
Also not true. The reason that you're triggering people is because you're authentic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's because you won't go along with somebody's story or people know that you don't. I mean, you're not going to like this sentence, but the reason that people don't like me, okay, I told you weren't going to like it, is because they know that in some way that I don't buy a story or I won't go along with a story.
No,
it's
that's
just
true.
I'm not even good at pretending to go along with a story. Even if I was trying, I'm not good at that. So people don't like me for that reason.
Right.
It has nothing to do with being an alpha either.
No.
That is what triggers people.
Exactly.
And like, it kind of reminds me of that whole thing where it's like, well, hurt people, so let's just let them off the hook. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, well, also hurt people don't hurt people.
Exactly.
So
lots of hurt people heal themselves.
Yeah,
so they go out of their way to not hurt people.
Yeah, so there's way more to the story than
right.
this. So it's taking a toxic masculinity concept and bringing it into this world. And I think this holistic self-help intuitive worlds needs way less of it. So like, I think the introduction of a new one made you feel like you've been punched in the gut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The system went on alert.
And I think what I said to you is like, it's one of those things that's like, you won't catch it or a lot of people won't catch it because they don't have the same like radar out about it as us. So it's like, it's just a little bit off.
Yes.
It's not like you heard that and you're like, what a jerk that person
is
who
made
that. It's like, ooh, they're
like, something's here.
Yeah. Empathic people do trigger people, but not for the reason that you're describing. And there's no such thing as an alpha empath. It doesn't even make sense. And like, now you're bringing like, so, but like, I do understand what she's trying to say. So it's like, those things are so complicated because, like, I'm not going to go on her page or tag her or yell at her.
No.
But I'm not going to go on her page and be like, oh, that's wrong. Like, no. Because she just doesn't know.
Yep.
But it's like one of those sneaky ways that you kind of hurt people.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was us saying it ugly, which was our obsessed from last
exactly.
week. I'm going to use the word unhealed here. But I hate the word.
Okay.
So then I'm going to go back and try to make it better, but I have to start with it.
Okay.
If you leave these vows in, that are connected to fear of failure and fear of success mm-hmm. unhealed, mm-hmm. it will cause you to block, miss out on, or not enjoy the things you want. And if you're trying to manifest something Ooh. And you can't get to it, or it's really difficult to get there and roadblocks keep coming up, the reason is there's a story inside of you. There's a vow that's blocking you.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is that whole sentence that I just said has been so weaponized in the self-help world that like it makes me almost want to not talk about it, which is the opposite of what I need to do. I need to talk about it more.
Yes.
But do you know that feeling of just like, oh, people have just kidnapped this
yes.
in such a gross way?
Yes.
So the thing is that like, it doesn't mean that there's a shortcoming of yours, but it's just something that's making it harder for you to do anything. And has nothing to do with your worth. Like the people who are like the quote unquote best people, which I don't even know what that means, but like they're the most attractive and the smartest and the kindest. They aren't the ones with all the stuff. They're not the best manifestors. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works.
Right.
So if you're like, you know, I've written about this before, but one time I yelled at a client that Hitler had a wife. Like it isn't that you earn these things by by doing, you know, life really well.
Right.
It's that either you're so narcissistic that you're disconnected from the fact that you have any issues with anything.
Exactly.
Or you have healed some things or you have stuff so unhealed you can't see it.
Exactly.
So it's not... You're sold an idea that's not true. Right. And then if you're trying to heal, again, I'll fix the word in a minute. You're trying to kind of heal in that space. Mm-hmm. You're going to fail because that's not how it works. Right. It's not the scale.
Yeah.
It's just looking at your stuff. The people who have the most in life are either the least self-aware or the most self-aware.
Exactly.
All the people in the middle are all the people in the middle.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
The regular people, right? Living our lives.
One of the examples I like to do when it comes to this with people mm-hmm. is when it comes to money. Mm-hmm. Because this is a great way to see fear of success.
Okay.
Because this is an exercise I do, and I like to have it so you're looking at it, so you can write this down if you want. But just try to visualize. My clairvoyant people, this will be easy for you to visualize. But for everyone else, create it how you need to based on your clairs. See our episodes on the clairs.
Yep.
Okay. I want you to just imagine being handed amounts of money. Uh-huh. Okay. So here's $1, here's $5, here's $10, $20, $30, and just keep going up. And wait for the moment where you start to feel a little resistance, just a tiny twinge of resistance of just having some stranger hand it to you.
You have to actually envision or however your clairs work.
Yeah.
It has to involve you being given the money.
Given.
Not just having it. It's not just sitting in your bank. You have to take it from someone.
Handing it to
you. Yes, you have to receive it.
At what money point, at what amount of money being placed in your hand did you get that first twinge of resistance? When people are like, oh, I got all the way to $1 million and I didn't get it. I'm like, you missed the twinge. That's okay. Go back and try again.
Yep.
Because I have never done this exercise truly with anyone. And they've gotten to $100 without a twinge.
I didn't when I first did it.
No, I think the first time I did it, I was like, let's see, $5 is a cup of coffee. 10 is going to start to make me be like, why are you giving? I have plenty, right? There's that story of I'm already too much. Why are you going to give me more? Oh my God, right?
Yep.
That's where it comes in. And it doesn't mean that you don't think you're worthy of $10 or $100.
It's not.
It just doesn't mean you feel safe receiving that without some other element attached to it.
When we first did this exercise, I did it with you years ago and you had to like we did that. And then you have to actually like, Heather makes you like manifest money.
Yeah.
And do you remember what happened with mine?
No.
That I couldn't manifest any money.
Yeah.
And I finally did.
Uh-huh.
And it was through my husband.
I was going to say.
He like gave me $5. Like he found $5 and gave it was like, it. Oh, I left $5 on the counter. Yeah. And I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I couldn't even, I couldn't even safely get it
through your own
to
channel.
Me. Yeah. I had to get it through him
to you,
to who's us right together. That like, what?
Yeah. I think everyone should try that exercise where whatever number you started to get squidgy at, you can start at, but you can even just try to manifest $5.
Yeah.
Okay. And just, it has to come to you. It has to just be given to you and then just pay attention to the form it comes in and how long it takes and how invested in it you are.
Yeah.
Cause if you're just like, oh, and then you forgot about it and then you get $5, then you're doing pretty well.
Right.
Up the amount.
Yes.
Okay. But for a lot of people, it will come in a way where like, oh, that's so weird. I went to Kohl's and they gave me $5 off.
Exactly.
Or, oh, you know, I found $5.
Exactly.
You know, like how is it coming? You know, like, and why is that the safe channel? And why are the other channels not safe? And like, just look at that because it tells you so much. But that is an example of fear of success.
But I went from that to manifesting a job.
Yes. In a very short amount of time.
It pays a lot more money than I thought it was going to.
Yes.
So it's possible.
It is 100% possible. But that doesn't mean you manifested it and were like, I have no fears or bad feelings about it. Like,
no, I just turned off.
No, you just went into freeze mode because you weren't quite ready to manage it yet.
Right.
But like that's the thing is like you before, first of all, you wouldn't have been able to manifest it.
No.
Because you would have been blocking it. And I know that sounds icky because again, that's been kidnapped because it isn't because you're not worth it or you didn't work hard enough. It's because it didn't feel safe.
No,
exactly. It doesn't feel safe. You can't pull it into your life because your ego's like, no.
And I wouldn't have believed you that I was blocking it at first. I would be like, no way. Of course I would want any money you would give me because then I would be better. I would be safer. Right. But you don't know the programming that's playing in the back.
It's the programming and it's stopping it. And
it is.
The reason that this conversation in these words make me squidgy is because it's a slippery slope to blaming people for like having an illness. Like, oh, you have cancer because
you didn't heal.
Thought bad thoughts or something. Like that's not true.
That's not what we're saying.
But are you blocking the things from you because they don't feel safe? That's literally your ego's job.
Right.
So if you're not sitting in the awareness of that, then yes. Do you have to quote unquote heal it all the way? No.
No.
But you have to be aware
of
it. Yeah.
Yep.
So the word that I wanted to change unhealed to is deconstruct. What do you think?
Love.
I think if you're deconstructing your own stuff, that's a better way to look at it than healing it.
Yes. Yeah. I completely agree.
Okay. Use your universal desire to help you push through your fear.
Yep.
Okay. Because I mean, they're going to be very connected in story. Like I talked about contribution, like I'm afraid of not contributing as much as I need to always contribute.
Same.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's going to show up love and connection. You're going to see it in the same way. Like I'm afraid of people not loving me and feeling connected to me as much as I'm afraid of them feeling too connected to me. Like it's all there for your messiness to untangle.
True.
Okay. But if you're trying to push through one of these things, like you're trying to get this new job and you're dealing with this, think about your top two. So love and connection and contribution. Mm-hmm. How will this bring me more feelings of love and connection? And how will this bring me more feelings of contribution? And you're going to sort of lessen the power of the fear story because you're activating your desire and your intuition towards it. So you're never going to completely quiet the fear. You're going to have to move towards it with the fear, right? But if you activate the desire at the same time, it's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, it's going to be easier for your intuition to override that fear because it sees that it's getting the thing that it needs.
Exactly.
Right.
Because your intuition, listen carefully, everybody, turn up the volume, just to cut a little more. Okay, right there. Your intuition and your ego are meant to work in harmony with each other.
Shocking, we know.
It's not, oh, I have too much fear here, so I need to kill the fear and go over to the desire. Oh, I just desire that too much. I need to kill my desires because those are shameful or whatever.
They're too earthly.
No. It's that they both work together in harmony. And there's no perfect, it's not like 50% fear and 50% intuition.
Right.
It's just whatever combination works for you and the thing that you're manifesting, it's going to be different every time.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like you're never going to parent with fear and desire even. You're going to parent with fear running the fucking show and desire really, really chasing right behind it.
Yes.
You know? But imagine if I was like, oh my God, as a parent, you need to desire the ways you want to feel just as much as you're going to be afraid the whole time.
No.
You should kick anyone in the shin who says that to you because that's ridiculous. But you know what I mean? Exactly. Like, it's not this even. It's the balance. It's the harmony of how it works and how it works for you in that moment.
Exactly.
And there's no right or wrong way to do it because those concepts don't apply here.
Exactly.
Keep those concepts to yourself, everybody.
Well, and they're different for everybody. That's what we say in every episode is that, like, that's why you can't have a 10-step program for this.
Right.
Because it's different for everybody.
It's not the same. And it's not the same for you every time.
Right.
The combination of fear and desire that you use to, like, parent or that you use in your romantic relationships is not going to be the same combination you use to earn money.
Right. And with your coworkers at
Of course not. Because there's a different things that have happened to you in your life that have different stories connected to it that have more or less fear. And the same things haven't happened to everybody. We all are different things that have happened to us. So there's no way.
Exactly.
You know, it's not worth judging people about it either. No. Oh, you don't really seem like you're fearing, you know, this good thing enough or this bad thing enough. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And how do you know?
Well, exactly.
You know? And so I know I'm, like, really hammering this point home, but just remember, intuition and ego are not opposing forces.
No.
They're not things that are, like, constantly battling for position. They're two things that in order to go forward, you have to find the harmony and balance to move through it. That's it.
And if you're making them opposing forces, like, in your system, you're creating a ton of work for your body.
Yeah.
Because that's not how they actually operate. So it's like you're creating all of this resistance inside your energetic body that it doesn't actually exist there.
No.
They work harmoniously together.
That's their when natural allowed. State. But you've been taught, like, the angel and devil on your shoulder. You've also been taught that good and evil are opposing forces. They're also not. That's not true.
Correct. That's a hard one for some people.
Light and dark are not opposing forces either. Like,
correct.
Yeah, I know, everybody. You
gotta deconstruct it.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? That's a neater story.
Oh, it sure is.
It's an easier,
way simpler story.
Way simpler. It's not at all true. Not even close.
It's also a very controlling story. If it's easier for you to be controlled, if it's easier to let someone else do the thinking and the management for you, then you'll buy into that story a lot more easily.
Exactly. Ugh. Yeah. If you want to control someone's fear and you want to control their desire, you make them opposing forces.
Correct. Ugh. Okay. You can see that everywhere. I mean,
the
microcosms for that,
that
theory and that theme are everywhere on our planet.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I mean, look at just, like, everything going on with, like, how Palestinians are being perceived.
Exactly.
They're bad.
But, you know, the Israelis
and the people in Gaza, again, not all of them, but the bad ones, the bad guys, like, listen to my language.
Yeah.
They're painting a picture of it. All of them being bad.
Exactly.
And all of this being bad. And the solution is to get completely wipe all of it out.
Right. Like, even babies.
Yeah, that's all ego. And that's all the idea that good and bad are opposing forces or that they even apply to humans. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
that's the same with white and black people in America.
Exactly.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere that you see any kind of bad things happening in the world on a big scale, you see that because it's dehumanizing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I'll try not to go off on a tangent. It's
true. Someone, people need to hear it.
Yeah. Say it ugly.
Say it ugly. Exactly.
Okay, I have one more thing for everybody.
Okay.
And it's just a few more questions.
Was this one of those episodes where you were like, I don't know if we're going to have a lot to talk about?
Yeah, because look, I only have one page with, like, a little more, and I like to have two full pages.
Heather does that every time. I don't know if we're going to have enough to talk about. Here we are at an hour and 26 minutes.
Here we are making two episodes out of this, most likely, right? But what a twist in life that I'm worried I'm not bringing enough.
Exactly.
When I'm actually always worried about being too much.
Exactly.
Maybe I should look at that. Write that down for us for later. Okay. So these questions are the ones I want you to ask yourself when you've done some work in the story. Okay. So the other questions, you can dive in with those if you want. But these are best asked when you've, like, started to unpack this, deconstruct it a little bit. Okay. So if I succeed, what does my ego say will happen? And then if I succeed, what does my desire, so my intuition, say will happen? If I fail, what does my ego say will happen? If I fail, what does my intuition or desire say will happen?
Yeah.
And then Mm-hmm. What's actually likely to happen?
Great point.
You're going to see that neither of the scenarios
exactly
are true.
Right.
Okay. And then just to end on some sort of a positive note for everybody. I feel like I just kicked everybody really hard.
Oh, no, this is the good stuff.
Okay. But if you pull yourself into the intuitive place, the true mm-hmm. intuition, mm-hmm. which is desiring different states of feeling and being.
Yeah.
Okay. You can achieve that, and the perception of other people can't affect it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
And listen, does it feel better if everyone's cheering and clapping for you and like really happy for you, or picking you up and showing up for you when you fail?
Of course.
Of course, that will make it better. So in that sense, it does affect, it affects how much or how little or what goes along with those feelings. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they can have like an influence.
Right.
But they can't take it away from you.
No.
They can't change it. You have control over that.
Exactly.
Desire, how you want to feel. Though, like, even if you don't get the thing like you worked for, you know, I worked for 20 years in this field and then I got fired or something, and now what am I supposed to do? Well, what about it did you like when it came to feelings?
Yes.
You can feel that somewhere else.
Exactly.
Because it's feelings.
Exactly.
Okay. Feelings. So I think that we should go drink some coffee and mm-hmm. talk about our feelings.
Okay. Some more.
Okay.
Hey everyone, Heather and I have an ask for you. If you love this episode or if you love the IGG, can you do us a favor? We need you to go onto whatever platform you listen on and download, subscribe, like, love, whatever it's asking you to do. Can you go do those things for us on the platforms that you listen on? It would mean so much to us.
Thanks for listening to our episode. For a way to get in touch with us, please visit our website, intuitivegirlsguide.com. We love hearing your feedback on our episodes.